Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow.
Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed, you probably even walked the dog by now. But you know what you did? Is you made one of the best decisions you're going to make all day today, and that is listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy. And that's a good decision. Why? Well, as you heard Josh say, as he says every Sunday morning, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. The reason we have this show every week is to help you, to give you career advice and tips, to help you to be more effective and productive in your careers. Gosh, I'm not above telling you where I've taken a left in my career, where I should have taken a right. And I don't do this to beat myself up. I tell you this information where I made my mistakes so that you can see what I've done wrong. You hear what I've done wrong, but I'll also tell you about it, and I'll tell you what I should have done and what you can do to stay on that correct path and be more successful. And each week, I have recurring contributors to the show. One of them is Coach Larry O'Brien. And Larry is a coach, a trainer, a person that has dedicated over 25 years to helping improve the performance. He helps managers become more effective leaders. And I'm just proud to have him on my show each week. He has a 5-minute segment, and he gives you tips to help you to be, help managers to be leaders. And there's a big difference between being a manager and being a leader. I also have Boston Danny as a weekly contributor. Boston Danny comes on at the end of the show, and he gives us an update on Boston and their wonderful sports teams. But the one thing that he does that all you people seem to like is he gives a shout out to folks that are having a birthday, an anniversary, or just somebody that accomplishes something special. Boston Danny gives them a wicked piss a shout out like only Boston Danny can. So if you have somebody that you'd like to acknowledge or appreciate, just drop me a line, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send me an email, and I'll make sure I put it right in Boston Danny's hands, and he gives you that shout out like only he can. All right. Now, I also am proud to have some of Jacksonville's most influential people every week on my show. And they tell us about their career journeys. They give us a little bits of information. And they also tell us about the great companies or organizations that they represent. And this week is no different. I have a great guest lined up for you today. I think it's important that I tell you that I am broadcasting remotely. We're still dealing with the protocols of social distancing. So if I sound a little tin canny or a little off, so be it. That's the way it is. We're all making do. And as they say, we're all in this together. It doesn't feel like it. It still feels like we're kind of separate, but it's one of those separate together things. We're all dealing with the same set of circumstances, I think, a better way to say it. Well, tomorrow, guys, is Memorial Day. And many of you know my story. I am a veteran. I spent almost 7 years in the United States Navy. Very proud to have served. The Navy got a young, hardworking young man that was, you know, proud to serve and eager to learn. And in return, the Navy gave me, wow, they gave me so much. I learned so much about attention to detail, how to be focused, a sense of mission and purpose in life. So I took that with me into my professional career as well. But Memorial Day a lot of times gets intertwined or mistaken for Veterans Day. You know, people tell me happy Memorial Day, which is great. I happy Memorial Day to you too. And, it's Memorial Day, and let's get to what the meaning of Memorial Day is and what it really truly is all about. And Memorial Day is an American holiday. It's observed on the last Monday of May each year, and it honors the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. And, you know, there's a lot of facts associated with Memorial Day. I have a guest host today. I think it's probably a good time to introduce my guest host. My guest host has been a guest, an actual guest on my show twice. He's co-hosted a live show with me on a Sunday morning, and we took a bunch of calls, and it was great. But I'm pleased as punch to introduce my guest today, and welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. It's Tom Nolan. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here. And Tom, you know what? I think it's also important to announce that you're my partner. You're here at Ascendo Resources with me. You joined me. That means you guys, folks here in North Florida, you have one formidable force for recruiters right here. If anybody needs staffing or recruiting assistance or career advice, you come to Pete and Tom and Angie and Alexis and our team here in Jacksonville, who you'll get to meet a little bit later in the show. But Tom, tell everybody a little bit about your career.
Well, first off, Pete, I'm excited to be part of the Ascendo Resources team and working with the Hard Worker himself, Pete. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this. But like yourself, I've been in the recruiting business for close to 20 years now. When I was five.
You're older than Dirk.
So been working with people to help them find their next career move, right? And that's probably the most rewarding thing about what we do, right? We bring people together and change their lives in a lot of times.
You know, it's funny. If you're out in the business community in Jacksonville, you'll see me and Tom. We'll be out at a lot of different events. And sometimes they ask you to stand up and say a little bit about yourself. And when I stand up, I always say, my name is Pete Langlois. People call me Pete the Job Guy. I'm a professional recruiter, and I change people's lives one phone call at a time. And Tom, you and I do this, I believe, for all the right reasons. We help people. You know, sometimes they're at a vulnerable point in their lives, right? They just need a job, or they need money, they need income, like a lot of folks right now. Other people, we help them with that next step in their career. I want to get closer to home, or better benefits and more money, or, you know, work-life balance, and we help those people. And then we also help companies when they need somebody for vacation coverage, or, you know, maternity leave, or they need, you know, 50 customer service reps because, you know, their phones are going to be blowing up because of the seasonality of their business, or they need a very specialized resource, and we help them. So we help people.
Definitely. I mean, I always tell people I'm a professional problem solver, in essence, right? You know, you're helping people when they have a problem finding a job,
right?
Or you help a company when they're having a problem find that right person for that situation you talked about, right? Whether it's permanent or full-time or what have you. There's so many different things that come about when you're looking for people and finding a job. So that, there's not a whole lot of monotony, right?
Right.
I mean, you're talking to different people every day. It's exciting.
Do you ever have the guy like on the airplane? You sit next to the person and then, what do? Oh, I'm a recruiter. And next thing you know, you start chatting up. Well, what do you do? You get more information. Next thing you know, he's perfect or she's perfect for a job you got open. And it happens by chance. And this happens with professional recruiters more than you know it. You just start up a conversation. You ever have that?
Oh, I've had it happen a couple of times. And it's funny you mentioned on a plane, because I have had that a few times. And usually it's just that basic conversation. Hey, what do you do? I never tell people like I'm a recruiter initially. I kind of always ask them what they do. Start doing the investigation, and then I'm like, oh wow, you're accountant. No, I got some opportunities for you if you're interested. And so it's neat when that happens.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, Tom, you know, you lined up a guest for us today, and I'm pretty excited about that. That you did. And, you know, tell us a little bit about the guests that we have, who he is. And one part that I want to really kind of bring to the forefront is he's a military veteran. You know, in honor of Memorial Day, I wanted to have a veteran on the show outside of myself, too. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about Ed, who he is, give us his bio, and then we'll bring Ed in and introduce him.
No, I'm excited to have Ed with us today. So just to give you a little background, Ed's originally from Stark, Florida. So he's a local guy. Spent about 10 or so years as a hospital corpsman in the U.S. Navy. And after coming out of the Navy, he utilized that medical background, and he's now the vice president of operations for HCA, which is one of the largest healthcare hospital systems in the country. So he's a leader here in Jacksonville, oversees the operations for about 9 surgery centers across North Florida, and currently resides in Jacksonville, him and his lovely wife, Amy, and their children. Not only is he kind of a champion in the boardroom, but he's not too shabby on the tennis court either. You know, I've got him against a few times, and he does really well. The only drawback about Ed, Pete, is...
Uh-oh. You're going to say it. I know you're going to say it because he wants you to say it.
I don't want to, but he's a friend. I know this is recorded or, you know, for podcasts in the future, so it's going to be out there, but go Gators.
Oh, Tom, I can't believe you said FSU guys. Well, welcome to the show this Sunday morning, Ed. How are you doing?
Good. Pete's done great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. So we heard Tom tell us, did you hear Tom say go Gators?
I did not. That would be a very odd thing. I can't believe that those words actually came out of Tom's mouth.
I can't believe it either, Ed. You owe me big time, buddy.
That's on here. Tom Nolan saying, go Gators. Well, you know, wow. In observance of Memorial Day tomorrow, you know, I definitely wanted to have a military veteran come on as well. And I talked about what Memorial Day is, the significance of Memorial Day. But, you know, can you tell us about your experience in the Navy as a corpsman?
Yeah, I mean, I had the pleasure, you know, of serving for, you know, almost 10 years as a corpsman. And, what I derived from that experience, I mean, is what, you know, still motivates me in life today. You know, the idea of helping and connecting with, you know, other people, you know, spending time, you know, in D.C. up near Arlington and, you know, and going through this National Cemetery up there, you get a, you know, great. I was not, you know, forward deployed. I served, you know, at sea and, you know, overseas and ashore, but not in a combat area. But you have a great appreciation for the sacrifice, you know, that was made by those that went before us. And it's a sobering thing to think about, you know, when you look and go, you're part of a fraternity, but there was a part of that fraternity that really did give their all.
Well, that's good. You know, I talked about a couple of things I learned in the military, and the two things that were important for me were attention to detail and also that sense of mission and purpose and the unquestioned reliability. I know, you know, it at different times when general quarters was called and all hands had to mend their battle stations. That was for real for me. I couldn't call in and say, oh, you know what, Ed, I'm not going to make it today. I'm not feeling it. Or, you know, I had to be where I had to be because lives depended on it. And that unquestioned reliability and certainly that purpose, the mission, I carried that with me to the private sector. Do you feel the same way?
I do. I think that, you know, I feel – you know, intensely loyal to the organizations that, you know, I've worked for and that I'm a part of. And that's both in my, you know, in my professional career and my, you know, whatever personal endeavors or community endeavors I'm involved in. You know, I think that becomes part of the fundamentals of who we are for those that were, those that are veterans. And I think we talk a lot about integrity. You know, we're kind of taught to be, you know, honest and accountable. You know, we have that strong work ethic because we weren't given the option to have anything else other than the strong work ethic, right? So, you know, certainly I think those are, you know, key you know, key traits of, you know, those of us that serve. But yeah, it impacted me just the way you described it.
Ed, that's great to hear, and love that you and Pete had a similar experience, right, coming out of it. Those characteristics that you guys look for when you were hiring, you know, what are some of the common ones that you see from veterans that make them an excellent fit for not only your organization, but any organization?
Well, you know, I think one of the most, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, we use words like loyalty and integrity and commitment. And I think one of the other areas is that a lot of times, you know, when veterans separate, you know, from service, when they move out into the civilian sector, that, you know, a lot of times what they did in the military may not immediately translate to positions they're looking for, you know, out in the private sector. But one of the unique parts about being in the military is I think you're constantly being asked to learn new things and master them in very short periods of time. You know, you think about some of the military training programs, you know, you complete some military training in 6 months. It's actually the equivalent of, you know, certain 4-year degrees. Part of that being the fact that, you know, that the military owns you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But that's the expectation. And then, you know, those that complete those programs rise to meet those expectations. So I think what's interesting is that you can really learn, a vet can, in a lot of situations, learn kind of whatever is put in front of them, a really important skill, in a very quick, you know, short period of time. And I think that's that gives a veteran's high value, I think, in the workforce.
Yeah, it is. It's that adaptability and the ability to quickly assess and make decisions and then follow those decisions and be ready to adapt again. And I know it helped me so much in the private sector, in my jobs and my decision making, the way I think right now. You know, the military really trained me. Military got you know, a hardworking young man, no doubt, that was eager to learn. But you know, I got so many skills out of it that set me on a correct path in the private sector. And you know, when I was in the military, they paid 75% of my tuition. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. 75%. I went to night school, weekend school. I enlisted a second time so I could complete my degree while I was in. And, you know, I have the Navy to thank for it. All I had to pay for were my books and 25% of the tuition, as long as I had above grade C. So I made sure I kept really high grades, and the military was good for me. You know, the transition part is hard for a lot of veterans. Like when you're in the Navy, you know, my name was Petty Officer Langlois. I went by my rank and my last name. And you come out into the real world, and you're right. A lot of the skills that you learn, let's say, you know, you're dealing with aviation ordnance. There's not a lot of aviation ordnance jobs in the private sector, right?
There's
not, you know, I worked on jet engines. You know, some of those skills would apply if I pursued something in that, but I kind of changed gears. But I went on a few different interviews, and I thought that, wow, you know, here's a young military person, came out, worked hard, got his degree, that I was going to get hired right away into a job that I really wanted. All I really wanted to do at that point in my life was to wear a suit and carry a briefcase and work in a pretty building, right? but I heard no several times, or I didn't get replies to my resume. And it was tough. And I ended up, a good friend of mine owned a brick paving business, and he was kind enough to give me a job laying brick pavers. And I did that for a year out in the hot sun, and I laid bricks and I learned my different patterns. But that transition for veterans, you know, coming out of the military and that kind of first leap into the private sector is difficult. Did you find it that way as well?
Oh yeah, certainly. I can relate to that. You know, we all have our dreams about what life is going to be like, you know, when we finally step away, whenever that is. And you feel, you know, well equipped due to the training and due to those, you know, that ability to, you know, adapt, as you mentioned earlier, rather quickly. And you know, I left when I separated out you know, I was a fairly advanced hospital corpsman. I had worked as I trained as a pharmacy technician, as an, you know, as an EMT. I had worked in healthcare management as a clinic manager. I'd been aboard ship and worked in the operating room. I could run X-ray. And I was even ACLS certified. So ACLS is advanced cardiac life support. So I was used to working in a code in the ER, you know, where we were actually pushing meds and reviving someone that came in, you know, in a cardiac crisis. And I remember one of my first interviews, I had my ACLS skills listed on my resume. And the interviewer for a certain hospital said, "That's great that you put on there, because half of this stuff you can't even touch or do outside of the military." And, you know, it just it was a sobering thing to think about, like, wow, that I felt like that was a really great thing to have. And interpreting wise, it would be right. It shows that somebody certainly has the ability to do more. Maybe those aren't things you can do in the setting, but your ability to learn and take on additional responsibilities. But yeah, I agree. It can be a very difficult transition at first to figure out what translates over, and then realizing you really have to fall back on those kind of core values and core skills that you have, rather than, you know, these are all the flowery things that I did while I was in the military.
Yeah, Ed, that brings up a great point. And I've seen it throughout my career hiring veterans that a lot of times people become humbled a little bit because you had this high rank or you were had so much responsibility. And to your point, transitioning, it doesn't equal out, right? So right. I've even seen sometimes the turnover rates be a little bit higher just because people, you know, the expectations aren't aligned up. Have you seen that before, or what's been your experience with kind of people settling in and finding the right job for them when they come out?
Yeah, you know, I've actually heard about that quite a bit, because one of, you know, in the company that I work for, and in prior roles, I've focused a lot on attempting to, you know, connect with former military for job openings that I've had. And, you know, there was always, I've heard, you know, anecdotally from different people that I, you know, worked laterally with who said, you know, you really want to do that? You know, I think that they, you know, they tend to have a higher turnover rate. And, you know, I remember kind of going out and researching that. I think I found a report a few years ago where LinkedIn had, you know, did a review, and they indicated that actually veterans were more likely to stay with their companies for, I don't know, it was, you know, 8 to 10% longer than an employee who was not involved in the military. And there was also a significant increase in how likely they were to be promoted into filling bigger roles, which that would kind of go right along with that, you know, drive to take on the ability to learn and adapt to new things. So I don't know that I've actually really seen in my experience with hiring former military or with veterans, any increased turnover compared to others. And, you know, I haven't seen that, but I think, you know, if we look at some of those studies out there, that indicate that actually is the other way around.
Hang on just a second, Ed. Tom, that music right there tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Stay with us and rejoin us on the back half. Ed, I need you to stay with us because we're going to finish this interview. But you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
And welcome back to our special Memorial Day weekend edition of Pete the Job Guy. And I don't want to waste a single second here. Let's get right back to the conversation between Pete and Ed Tennant. What's your next question for him, Pete?
Well, Ed, if you would, tell us a little bit more about your role and the great organization that you work for.
So, yeah, my role is I oversee a swath of ambulatory surgery centers. Those are places where patients can have, you know, surgery the same day and go home. We don't keep patients overnight. We have the ability to, but that's not something that we do with any great regularity. And those procedures can vary greatly from, you know, cataract procedures to, you know, gastroenterology like colonoscopies or orthopedic procedures, ACLs, spine surgery. And, you know, now we're doing even things like pacemaker replacements and, you know, total hips and total knees, things like that inside of a surgery center where a patient has surgery to that level the same day and then, you know, goes home on that same day. So my job is kind of oversee operations of locations that we have here in Jacksonville, Gainesville, Tallahassee, out through the Panhandle, all the way down to Orlando. So I get to spend my fair share of time on the road, you know, listening to WAKV and others. I certainly get my road time in.
Oh, nice little plug. That's great. So, so if you were going to play Tom Nolan in tennis, who would win?
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. I don't know. Tom's pretty crafty. You know, he doesn't play a lot, but he's really crafty. You know, sometimes I get out there and think I've got this big swing, and then you get that guy that, you know, goes, yeah, I can take that and do this with it. So I don't know. I'm not placing any bets there. I'm just going to wait on when I can hear the recording to hear Tom say, go Gators. That actually made my day.
That's great. Well, Ed, what I love to do to all my guests, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I want you to, you know, think back of your younger self, maybe 19 years old. And let's say you now, knowing everything that you know and everything you've learned along the way, professionally, personally, and if you could just walk up to your 19-year-old self, put your hand on your shoulder and say, Ed, let me give you this bit of advice. What would you tell your younger self?
I'd say go forward. You know, I remember, you know, in the little town that I, you know, grew up in outside of Jacksonville, you know, in Stark, you know, a lot of it's a great little town, place to raise kids. A lot of people, you know, grew up there, stay there. And you know, I hadn't traveled much as a child or, you know, in my teenage years, but there was this burning desire to kind of go out and see the world. But I was apprehensive too, because I saw so many people staying home, and you know, I overcame that and said, I want to go. And I joined the military and they made sure I saw the world. I would say, if I said anything to myself, I'd say, you know, don't hesitate on going forward, you know, move forward and don't be afraid to experience new things. I think the experiences that we gather in life through our travels, you know, both for pleasure, for business, for military service, whatever it is, you know, are things that fashion us to who we are today, and give us the ability to relate to people in different ways, and to be more of a benefit to them and to our communities. So I'd say go forward.
Ed, I think that's fantastic advice. I appreciate you coming on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy and spending your Sunday morning with us today.
Well, thank you for having us, Pete, Tom. I appreciate the time, and certainly enjoy your Memorial Day, and let's not forget what it's all about.
Very good. Thank you. You do the same.
Thanks, Ed. Have a great Sunday.
All right. Guys, this next part of the show is one of my favorite parts, and this is where we get a leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Coach Larry gives information that's going to help managers become effective leaders. You know, this is a part of the show where I always recommend you take down some notes. And the notes that you write down are going to be something that you're going to do differently as a result of listening to Coach Larry. You'll be the better for it. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
I was working in the training department of a large financial services company. We were in our weekly planning meeting, and we were all taking on assignments for the upcoming quarter. We'd go around the table and ask, all right, who's available to teach the team building workshop? Or who's available to teach Lotus Notes? Who's available to teach what is the internet and why does it matter? We go around the table and people say, I got that one. I can do it. Or I'm not available. Everyone would do that except for Mary. So when it was Mary's turn, every time it would go something like this. She'd take a deep breath and say, on Monday, I have to prepare for the wonderful world of macros. Tuesday, I leave early because I have a dentist appointment. Wednesday, I'm teaching the wonderful world of macros. Thursday, I have a meeting with the funds processing team. Friday is my 2-year anniversary, so I'm leaving early. Now, don't get me wrong. You should celebrate anniversaries and go to the dentist. This is life. But what really grinded my gears was that the whole meeting would come to a screeching halt so she could explain her whole weekly agenda. At this particular moment, I had had enough. I said, Mary, No one cares about your anniversary. Can you do the class, yes or no? Boy, it felt good, but only for a moment. Mary closed up her planner. She stood up and walked out the door. I felt terrible. I went to apologize, and she was very upset with me, and it took a long time to rebuild that trust. The thing is, this has been happening for a while, so my frustration was building up, but I never had the courage or could figure out the right way to have that difficult conversation with her. Today, I'm going to talk about a five-step process for having difficult conversations. And this comes from a webinar I teach by Blue Point Leadership Development called Mastering the Art of Difficult Conversation. The five steps are in this order. Step number one, when having a difficult conversation, affirm the person. Then confront the facts. Explore the possibilities. Encourage the change. And advance the action. So let's start with affirm the person. It's important to find something you genuinely respect the person for. Let them know that this isn't personal. Because someone is a poor performer, it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. When you affirm the person, it's important that you do it for something that is relevant and not something that is made up. So in my case, I let Mary know how much I appreciated the fact that she shared her experiences in teaching some of these programs to those of us who had less tenure. She'd been around a while, and she knew how long it would take. She knew how challenging some of these programs were, and it was truly beneficial when she shared that with us. The next step is confront the facts. I shared with her an SBI feedback statement, which stands for situation, behavior, and impact. For example, I said, Mary, at Monday's staff meeting, when we were asking for volunteers, you shared your schedule for the whole week. The impact was that the meeting took longer than it needed to. At that point, I asked her how she experienced the meeting and if she saw it differently. So confronting the facts. The third is about exploring the possibilities. I asked her why she felt it was important to share the whole schedule. I asked her if she'd noticed that others were not doing that. And then from a coaching perspective, I wanted to better understand what was behind that behavior. A good practice here is not to assume you know what's going on. It turns out that for her, the meetings were more about socializing and connecting with the team. We had a lot of change on the team. And she missed those times when the team connected more at a personal level. Personally, I had no idea that she was feeling this way. Then the fourth step is to encourage the change. This is about expressing confidence in the person and supporting them in the performance improvement. It's also about staying positive. Ideally, a person should be motivated to implement the change. In my example, I made sure that she knew that I believed that she could follow the new process. I also wanted her to know that the skill of being succinct and prepared is important, not just for our team meetings, but whenever you are communicating up the organization. And we also talked about perhaps there were opportunities that we could socialize more, but outside the meetings. The fifth step is advance the action. This is about challenging the other person to take responsibility for their development and to hold them accountable. At the end of the day, I couldn't do it for her. I couldn't want it more than she wanted it for herself. So I asked, how will you know you're successful? How will you know you're on track? And how can I support you, but without putting the ownership on me? So there are a lot of difficult conversations and approaches out there. This one works for me because it's solution focused while taking into account the person's feelings. I'd love to hear what model works for you. And if you are interested in attending one of our difficult conversations workshops, please reach out to me on my website, www.mendozaandobrien.com.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. I highly recommend, folks, that you go to mendozaandobrien.com and engage Coach Larry O'Brien. You'll be the better for it. He's wonderful. He's a great coach, a wonderful human being, and he helps managers become effective leaders. mendozaandobrien.com. Tom Nolan is joining me today. We're not at the studio, but we are remote. We're at the Ascendo Resources headquarters right here in Jacksonville, Florida. If Tom and I can help you in any way with any staffing needs, staffing, recruiting. We place people on temporary, temp to hire, contract, direct hire. We work corp to corp, 1099 for some senior and executive level IT contractors. We can help you. You have a, you know, an accounting position and your ads are letting you down, or you can't find that highly specialized skill set, reach out to us at Ascendo Resources, 904-999-4878 is our number. Tom, we know tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I want to remind everybody what Memorial Day is all about. Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May every year. And this honors the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. And Tom, maybe you have a factoid perhaps about Memorial Day to share, please.
Yeah, Pete, I was doing a little research and throughout my whole life, it's always been the last Monday of the month, right? But it wasn't really until 1971 that they changed that. Before that, it was May 30th, which is my son's birthday.
All right.
And when he was born, actually,
G-Man, Grady.
G-Man. He was actually born on Memorial Day weekend 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know that they made the change until 71. So, and they did that in order to give us Americans a three-day weekend to observe it, right? And really commemorate our fallen, which it touches home at the Nolan home and really with my wife's family.
Yeah.
Her grandfather was a World War II veteran, colonel in the Army, served in Europe.
Yeah.
And was actually an ordnance officer.
Oh, wow.
So weaponry, things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And that eventually led him to work for NASA and help launch the Apollo project.
Holy cow.
Yeah, super, super proud of
that's
of
probably
what he
why
did.
You married up and yeah. you she's got the brains of the outfit.
Oh, definitely. So the one thing that we probably all know is, you know, Arlington National Cemetery is the largest cemetery in the U.S. with,
yeah.
with the our fallen soldiers and veterans and their family. Laura's grandfather is buried there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
no idea.
A few years ago when her grandmother passed, we actually went there and went to the service. And
yeah.
I'll tell you what, amazing.
Yeah.
Just gives chills to your bones
yeah.
when you see you know, all the tombstones, the unknown soldier
yes.
ceremony. I mean, it's just amazing. If you hadn't had a chance to get to Arlington National Cemetery, you got to put it on your bucket list. It's amazing.
That's wonderful. And I know, you know, the origin, you know, of this is, you know, some people dispute it and it, you know, it really came around the Civil War time. I know it was initially called Decoration Day before they changed it. And some of the other things I know is there used to be, and I hope it still is, they fly the flags at half mast. They you know, at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day should be everybody stop and just remember these people and pray for them and thank them for our freedoms that we hold so dearly today. So I want to wish all of those out there, everybody out there, a happy Memorial Day, and really, truly hope you understand the meaning that people died in battle for your freedom, to protect your freedom. Happy Memorial Day, folks. Oh, and look who just came into the Ascendo Resources studio here, Alexis Brown. Alexis, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, thanks, Pete, for having me.
So Alexis is part of the winning team here. You guys just heard my partner Tom Nolan here. Alexis is my partner too, Angie, and we got our whole team here. Alexis, what do you do at Ascendo Resources?
Well, I am a recruiter. I actually came in and learned from Pete and, well, of course, you and Angie and Tom how to do the staffing industry. So that's kind of cool.
What did you do right before coming to Ascendo?
I was a recruiter for Ryder, which is a logistics company. It was more corporate recruiting, so it's been quite the transition.
Right, because this, I mean, what I like about you is, you know, you came in with some good instincts, some experience, which is good, but your willingness to learn and the pace you move at. I mean, you talk to a lot of people every day. What do you like about recruiting?
I like getting the opportunity to, I guess, build a pipeline, communicate with a whole bunch of different people, and learn about a bunch of industries that I had no idea about before. Like you said, when it comes to IT, the most I know about it is how to spell it. So getting to learn that, and on top of a bunch of different industries, it's cool.
Right. Tell me about a position right now. I mean, you know, you just came walking into our little studio that we have inside our office. What are the types of positions, if you have one that's open right now, like, what are you looking for?
Well, right now I'm looking for a SQL analyst. So pretty much they need to have Power BI, which is like all the SSRS, SSAS, SSIS. I feel like I'm spelling Mississippi, but that's a really tough role for me because it's hard to find someone that has the balance of the SQL and the Power BI. So
yeah,
that's something.
Right. A lot of people have the experience, but someone that can write SQL queries, that you take those queries to the bank, you know, serious, serious, deep SQL skills. If somebody has that right now, a senior analyst with heavy SQL exposure to Power BI in an Azure environment, what's your number? How can they get a hold of you?
Well, my number is 904-862-2515. If you or you know somebody, definitely give me a call so I can tell them about this awesome opportunity.
All right. Alexis, thank you for stopping by the show this Sunday morning.
Yeah, thanks, Pete, for having me.
All right. Isn't that nice, Tom? We pretend like Alexis just happens to be walking around at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and she does a pop in.
That's right.
Of course, we had it planned. Guys, here at Ascendo Resources, I want to let you know that we are following all the proper protocols. We're back in the office. Matter of fact, we came back last Monday and, you know, we have notices all over the front door that do not come in this door. Stop. If you don't even drop anything off, if you have to lay it down outside, we're doing all of our interviews via Skype or we're using Zoom. We're wearing masks we have hand sanitizer all over the place. Nobody's running a fever because we temperature check. We're being very, very careful. And even, you know, we have our studio set up because at the studio where Josh is this morning, we're not allowed to even go in the studio just yet. So we're doing it remotely. But how are you seeing this impact businesses and hiring right now? Because you're in the staffing business just like I am. What's the impact that you're seeing, Tom?
Well, it's a little bit of a mixed bag right now, Pete. There's a lot of companies laying off.
Yeah.
It just depends on the industry.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, business hasn't stopped, right? Yeah. So when I look at it and the clients that are calling us, a lot of them is in the accounting and finance space.
Yeah.
They need to close the books. They need to have their AR and AP done, you know? And I think you're seeing that as well, right?
Oh, Tom, there's a lot in the accounting and finance, our other divisions, the technology folks and administrative, clerical, all that. You know, they're busy. Tom and I have been really focusing a lot in the accounting and finance space because you're right. The books still need to close. Somebody has to do the accounting. Even though there's layoffs, sometimes companies had to cut a little bit too thin, but there might be money set aside for consultants to come in. And, you know, maybe, you know, your company needs another set of hands to come in and do some work for you for whether it's a defined or undefined period of time. Tom and I can help you place a senior accountant or controller level professional to come in and just help on an as needed basis. And we see some folks that have been laid off or perhaps even terminated due to COVID that maybe companies aren't hiring them right now, but they haven't done it before, but they go in as a consultant and use that expertise that they've garnered over all these years, and they walk in and add value. You know, Tom, a question that I ask, let's say a vice president of finance or a controller takes over, it's a new job and they come in And I always call him and I welcome, say, congratulate him and say, Tom, congratulations, you got this new job and you're the controller of XYZ company. And I like to say that no matter how buttoned up your predecessor was, you have to have inherited a bee's nest to work. Bee's nests of projects and work to do. That's just the way it is. And then I say, if you could clone yourself right now, what would you have your clone tackle? And they'll say, oh my God, I'd put all the dirty work on him. I'd make him do this. And that's where Tom and I will say, hey, I have somebody that can step in and do that. So for the next 30 days, have this person knock all that out so you can be more strategic. You know, that's the way it is.
No, definitely. And one of the buzzwords is people say they want to do a transformation, right? A business transformation, which really just means there's a lot of stuff out there we need to get done, right? There's a lot of opportunities for people to come in and put their fingerprints on how they want that new department to look, right? Because as you mentioned, you had a predecessor probably doing a great job, yep. And now you're coming in and taking it to the next level or doing whatever you need to do to impact the business in a positive way.
Right. So, and that's it. You know what, Tom? This is one of my favorite parts of the show right now. This is where we're going to get this week's Boston Update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here. Hoping everybody's happy and well. You know, with this, all these new COVID protocols in place, we just got to self-police ourselves and, you know, adhere to the standards, wear your face mask. Although I'm not looking forward to wearing a face mask in the middle of July when it's steaming out and we're sweating pretty bad and you're trying to work and you're waterboarding yourself. Doesn't sound like much fun, but keep an extra couple bandanas on you, switch them out, try to dry your stuff out. Just be mindful of everything that goes on. But enough with the public service announcements from us. Let's talk about things we like. Around here, you know, everything's different, but it still stays the same. We've had ourselves a pretty cool spring, as always. A lot of below average temperature days. So it's been chilly. It hasn't got out of the 60s, you know, 50s, 60s much. But this past week, we've had a few 70-degree days. Zero humidity, perfect working weather. But, you know, unfortunately, we can't work. But this week, Massachusetts eased the restrictions. We've opened up manufacturing, construction. I've been getting guys back to work, which is great for us. You know, we're maintaining the protocols, and, you know, we're getting it done. We're going to go back to work and be the hard workers that we always are. I'm just sad a lot of the stuff that we're used to. You know, I've probably been to about half a dozen Red Sox games at this point. Nothing better than sitting at Fenway Park with a beer and a Frank and enjoying some baseball. But, you know, we'll get back to normal soon enough. You know, we have stuff that's been canceled. We got stuff that goes on here. 200 years it's been a tradition and we're canceling it. So maybe next year we can get back to it, all our parades, everything else. So hang in there, folks, and we'll all get through it. But in the meantime, you guys can still send out the shout-outs. You know I love them. I'll throw them right back at you. I love wishing everybody a wicked happy anniversary, wicked pisser birthdays, and all that stuff. So I want to give wicked happy birthday shout-outs. Remember, folks, you don't do it. If no one's going to do it for you, do it for yourself. It's your special day. So, Matt Pierce, your family loves you. You're a lucky guy, Matt. A wicked pisser birthday to Chris Osbeck, Sidney Gale, and to Casey Repass. So that's Casey with a K. So you guys enjoy your day and get it done. Everybody else, you know, remember, our military retirees, our active duty, our police, our firemen, you know, and let's add the nurses and doctors there because they've become frontline troopers too. So, you know, keep them in your prayers, keep them in mind there, and everybody enjoy themselves. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Peter, I'll be talking to you soon. Take care, folks.
Thank you very much for that gem, Boston Danny. My co-host today was Tom Nolan. Our guest was Ed Tennant from HCA. We're so proud to have him on. You guys have a great Memorial Day. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.